This is Mariah, and in this episode, AADL talks to Mariella Griffor. Recently, I had the chance to sit down and talk with Mariella Griffor about poetry as a universal language, geography as an influence on writing, and her introduction to poetry. We also focused on topics surrounding censorship and the importance of the freedom to read, write, and express oneself. I was reading a prior interview where you said the universal voice of poetry speaks to everyone without the barriers of culture or language. Can you explain this a little bit more deeply and talk about how you came to personally discover this?
That is a big question, but it's a very interesting one because in the journey of discovering and that poetry is a universal language, I needed to learn many different languages right. and visit different places and live in different cultures. And a lot of people think that music is a universal language. Other people think that the translation is a universal language where we can all meet. But I do truly believe that poetry is a universal language because in the translation of original languages into whatever language you want to read, you find something in common that is different afflictions or emotion or thought that are very common to any person in any part of the world. So I think that reading and talking and meeting different poets from different parts of the world, we had develop a common language where we meet and speak with one voice. In Chile or in Latin America, affliction of a political or economical or social repression, they speak in the same way in countries in Africa or countries in Europe. So I do believe that the poetry unites us in a common voice. And of course, we have a different themes that are very particular to certain locations because I cannot speak with the same fervor or passion about the snow, for example, that the people in Alaska But I do think that we have other themes in common, and we have a common voice. So that is what I mean. It's a very very unique situation where you you find that poetry is very well understood by all the people in the world. And I think that just now, maybe poetry have a crisis in term of connecting to a very wide audience because we have so much distraction, and literature is evolving in different directions just now. But I think poetry will continue to have a very important place and role in the future of our society and all societies.
You speak a little bit about poetry being an overarching language, but at the same time, maybe not speaking as eloquently about snow as someone in Alaska. How did you find that your own geographical transitions impacted what you were writing about?
Yeah, the part of geography is a very interesting for any kind of a writer because I think we cannot avoid the impact of a geography in people's life. So we always find this kind of a very comic and very kind of ironic statement about a certain culture. For example, the rest of Latin America think that the Chileans are neurotic. You know, we are the neurotics of Latin
really?
America. And in the best way, when they want to be nice, they call us the English of Latin America. But I think it has to be something to do with the geography too, because the first writers in the time of the colony, the Spanish writer that colonized in that area, describe always Chile a long and crazy geography, because if you go to the south of Chile, there is no connection in between. I mean, there are thousands of tiny little islands, and the country is very separated in between water and continent, water and continent. So. And wherever you go, you find, for example, in different, you used to find different tribes and different culture. For example, we have a very big place that is called Patagonia. So the people in Patagonia, that doesn't have absolutely anything to do with the people in the central Chile or the north of Chile, which is a very hot and very isolated. So the south of Chile is connected in all its craziness, is connected because there is a lot of people living in the south. And I will say that the geography is something that really... I think our geography has been creating a lot of good poets. We have two Nobel Prizes. We have a tremendous amount of very well-known writers. But Chile is a beautiful country. I mean, on one side, you have the Andes Mountain, and on the other side, you have the Pacific Ocean. So it doesn't matter wherever you live, you always are going to see the mountains, and you are going to have some impact from the ocean, because even if you live in Santiago, you live 45 minutes away from Valparaiso, which is the closest coast to the capital. So it's a very long country, but very thin. It's a very, very different than the rest of other countries in Latin America. So we have this fixation with our geography. And I think that come out in my poetry, in the sense that the ocean is really important for me. I mean, usually my poems, they have event that they happen close to the ocean or in the way to the ocean or coming back from the ocean, et cetera, et cetera. And the Pacific is... very strong force in our life, because it's not like your Atlantic, which is a very warm and nice. Our Pacific is violent. It's cold all the time, even in the summer. But they have this tremendous wave, and you can see, for example, some impact you can find a similar place in California, for example. California have a geography that is very similar to Chile's geography. So in that way, I think that the geography has been playing a big role in my poetry. And there is no writer that can avoid that forever.
In a previous interview, you talked a little bit about how your grandparents introduced you to poetry. How did your reading influence your writing? And who early on were poets that you were reading, and who are more recent poets that you're reading?
Well, when I was very young, I was introduced to Federico Garcia Lorca by my grandmother. She comes from a family in Spain, so I never have the opportunity to ask her why she liked him or... but the thing is that his poetry was a very big impact in my life as a poet, because I didn't grow up thinking that someday I will write poetry. I was just absorbing what was going on. So she had a very artistic family. And when uncles and her nephews or cousin came home, it was always kind of a party because one played the guitar, the other one played the accordion, another one played the harmonica, etc., etc. It was a lot going on. But so in somehow, I think just to give me a role in all of this, she made me memorize the poetry of Garcia Lorca. And it was quite fun. I didn't understand his poetry until I was very old. His poems are very dramatic and strong, so it's very difficult for the child. But, I like the impact, I like the reaction of my family because I just recite the poems and I got applause and I got attention and so on and so on. And then Pablo Neruda and Gabriela Mistral. Gabriela Mistral was a big, big figure in my house because starting with the fact that my grandmother really looked like her. So we have a picture of her and my grandfather in one of the room, and it was no way. There was exactly like Gabriela Mistral. So in somehow, I don't know how, but I read a lot of Gabriela Mistral, and I recite poems. And she was very important in our life as Chilean because you recite her poetry in the school, and also she have a lot of rondas, a lot of songs for children. And many of those you used to play in the garden and so on and so on. And then Pablo Neruda. I mean, it's impossible not to be tied up to the legacy of Pablo Neruda because it's just so tremendous. I mean, he wrote about the political life of Chile to the love life of the universe. I mean, there was no theme that was left besides. So... But in somehow those were three big figures in my writing and in my growing up as a poet. Just now I will tell you that I read so many poets just now and American poets. I try to read all of them, but it's very difficult to compile a very small group because there are so many. And I read a lot of international poets, too. I read a lot of people from Chile and from Sweden. From Sweden, for example, we have a bunch of incredible good poets like Håkan Sandell, Kjell Esmark, Per Vesberg. We have Malena Morling, who lives in the state, by the way, and we have also Lasse, what is it, Jonas Ellerstrom, etc. And then from the Chilean that I'm reading just now is Nicanor Parra, of course, Raul Zurita, Carmen Berenguer, Pablo Paredes, and Hector Hernandez, and I will be here all day saying names.
The freedom to read, the freedom to write. What do those two things mean to you?
Means everything. Do you know, I used to have nightmares years ago where I was, I have this nightmare that I somebody put me in jail and I didn't have a paper and pen. And then a couple of years ago, I saw this movie, Quills. I don't know if you guys saw that movie. Gosh, I was sick like 3 days after seeing that movie because Marquis de Sade went to jail a couple of times and they put him without paper and pen. And I said, oh my God, I had the same nightmare. And so I think it's everything. is the most basic need of the human being to be able to communicate. So if you are taken away from all those need of communication, I think it will be very difficult to live as an individual. And a lot of people think that it's not very important only because those freedoms have been never taken away, you know. But once you are not allowed to practice freedom of speech, or if you cannot, if everything you write is censored, you really struggle as a human being. Because it's very difficult to have a life without being able to be yourself and express your thought.
How do you feel that censorship has impacted your own life?
Censorship has been impacting my life at a very deep level. I became an exilee in 1985. That was a life-changing moment when we were opponent to the military government in Chile, and that changed my life forever. And actually, when you are in the situation of being an opponent to your government, you don't realize the consequences of your actions until later on, because you don't know how your actions are going to impact the political development of your country. And I'm very surprised that, for example, American youngsters don't have absolutely any passion or any big interest in the process of election, for example. And it's something that is very difficult for me to understand, in the sense of how big the impact of that action has, and the action of voting or the action of no voting. So And that is something really, really amazing to me, because I spent almost 13 years or 14 years from 1985 to 1998 without the possibility of returning to Chile, because the political conditions were not stable or safe enough. And Chile has been changing very much in the last couple of years, and since 1989, when we have a democratic election again. And we went back to the traditional democracy that we used to have. And but those years of a military government play a big role in people's life. So it was something really important. The freedom of speech was taken away from us, and it changed us forever. And in literature today, for example, we have a tremendous struggle to find the right language to explain what happened, because in many cases the horrifying situations were just so big that there is no language that can possibly explain what happened. And so I will say that the censorship is one of the biggest plague of this century, because people all over the world are being dislocated just now. I mean, there are people that think in a different way than the government in turn, and they have to flee and they have to move and they have to become exiles, sometime in their own country.
I have one more question, which has to do with more recent work. I know that in addition to being a writer and creating your own work, you've worked a lot with student writers, and then you've also worked to sort of curate a publishing imprint and work with a variety of different writers. How have you found guiding and speaking with other writers has influenced your own writing? Have you learned from your students and other writers that you've worked with?
Yes, tremendously. Yes, tremendously. When I started to write poetry, I thought that it would be very difficult for me to overcome the past. But being in contact with other people from different countries and people from here, American writers, has been teaching me so much. And I love this American resilience in front of hard times, you know. So I think I have been learning so much from that situation. And I see my own writing now in a bigger universe. Before, I saw myself very much like a Chilean writer or a Latin American writer. But now I feel that I'm bigger than that. In terms that I connect with my theme, with the people from all over the place. I mean, all over the world, and I don't have that kind of a limitation. And to be a poet, to be a good poet, you have to be very, very modest and very humble. And I think for many years, it was difficult for me to be humble. You know, I was very angry and I was very disappointed and a little bit bitter. And you cannot possibly write good poetry if you have all this bad baggage and you don't overcome your own limitations as a poet. So I have to say that I have been learning from students and from other fellow poets here. A little bit of this graciousness and this blessing of being able to be a poet. It's a big luxury nowadays. You know, if you think about it, we are living in a difficult time financially, economically, socially, you name it. And I have this good life where I can deal essentially with books, which I love, and with the writing poetry or creative writing in general. So I feel very blessed, and I have been learning a lot in terms of not only how to use different forms in my poetry, but also in a more abstract way and an emotional way too. So I see the poetry, my poetry, growing in this contact with the people around me nowadays.
To learn more about Griffor and her work, visit mariellagriffor.com. Music for this episode was Grace by Jasmine Brunch, which you can find in the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnitude. AADL Talks to Mariella Griffor is a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.